Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. This proverb illustrates how vital the private and public ministry of the Word of God really is. The Hebrew word for vision means divine instruction as revealed in God's Word, especially relating to the law, the commands, the precepts, and the gospel of grace. And think about this, without the moral law, the Ten Commandments revealed in Scripture, sinners remain in the darkness of their own depravity, having no real spiritual knowledge of their sin. And the word perish carries with it the idea of being naked and exposed. So without the vision of the gospel message, faithfully preached, sinners are naked before God and estranged from the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And without Jesus Christ, they will be left naked and exposed before the judgment of God, unless the Spirit of God opens their blinded eyes to the glory and the righteousness revealed in the gospel. Psalm 2:12 says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Apart from the sanctifying power of the Word of God, the child of God will not grow in grace and in holiness. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So let us never think lightly of the influence and power of divine instruction as it's revealed in the Holy Scripture. Because without it, you're going to be left exposed to the attacks of Satan as a believer. Then I thought, churches of the Lord Jesus ought to make application of this verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. There's no concern for the truth and spreading the truth. You know, one of the commands dealing in the Great Commission, it says, go into all the world teaching, preaching. Revealed in the Holy Scripture is the Great Commission given by the Lord Jesus. The Lord's churches are responsible to preach the gospel to every creature, to baptize the converts, and then teach them to observe all things that God has commanded. What an awesome, weighty, solemn work we have been given. Humanly speaking, and here's the thing, we don't know the divine decrees. We don't know who God is going to save. They're not clearly marked. Our responsibility is to sow the seed on all the types of grounds, leaving it up to God to bring forth fruit, to bring forth and give the increase to that. But our responsibility remains the same whether people are saved or not. We're to sow the seed everywhere. Because humanly speaking, without the sowing of the seed, people aren't going to be saved. Just that simple. Preach the gospel. That's the reasoning behind the responsibility. Preach the gospel to every creature. In God's divine and sovereign eternal plan, we know for a fact that He's going to save people. We just don't know who they are. We don't even know where they are. We don't have an address book that God has given us. Go to this house, preach the gospel here, and I'll save these people. We don't have that. So our responsibility is to obey the command to go and to share the gospel and pray that God will save sinners. And I pray that God will open our eyes and our hearts to see and feel how important this work really is. To be a witness wherever we're at. To let people know that there is a way of peace with God. That there is hope in this world that is so darkened, so cruel, so wicked. There is hope in Jesus Christ. Now, every church member ought to carefully feed upon the Word of God in private worship and be faithful to attend upon the Word when it's preached in public worship. Why? Well, number one, it's commanded. Study to show thyself approved unto God, that you might rightly divide the word of truth. You're commanded to study and to read and to find daily instruction from the word. Why come to hear it preached? Again, God commands it. Jesus started His church during His earthly ministry. He called preachers, pastors, elders, whatever term you want to use. He placed them in the church for the edifying of the body of Christ. He has given, if He's gone to the trouble, if you will, of starting the church, placing preachers in it to instruct, to guide, to lead, to challenge, then we ought to hearken to the command, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we need private instruction from the Word of God on a daily basis. We need public instruction from the Word of God as we gather in the Lord's house. We need to be challenged. We need to be built up in the most holy Word of God. And I pray that God will open our eyes and our hearts to the truth of the Word. And at the same time, may God grant us a sanctified vision of the fields that are white unto harvest and the precious souls that we are responsible to carry the gospel message unto. I believe God's still saving people all around the world. Even in the United States, even in Chesapeake, South Point, Huntington, Lawrence County, I believe God's still saving people. But let me say this. If God would not save another person starting today, it would not diminish our responsibility one bit. Take the gospel to where people are. To take the message of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation to everyone in the world. Jesus said this, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." You know, I don't believe those laborers are just preachers. I believe everybody that's saved has a responsibility to be a witness. to tell others of Christ. So, where there's no vision, the people perish. We know this to be individually true. We know it to be true in the Lord's churches. What about your home? As Christian parents, may we also see and have a vision of training our children in the way that they should go. I fear that this area is much neglected. Not just in the world at large, but in our churches. We are to religiously educate our children. We need to teach them by precept and practice what's right, what's true, what's honorable. By what we do with the Word of God, in reading it, memorizing it, and then also applying it in our daily lives. Our kids need to see us. Our grandkids need to see us living the Christian life. Not just on Sunday morning, but every day throughout the week. This is not a part-time job, being a Christian, training our children. The responsibility never ends. My kids, Katie's going to be, she's born in 85. She's going to be 34. 34. I don't even look 34. How could she be 34? If I just shaved the beard, you wouldn't even know me. Who is that kid? That's what Phyllis would say. But I'm not going to shave it, Phyllis. Katie's 34. Josh is 32. Aaron's 30. You know what? I'm still teaching them. I'm still trying to help them see the truth as it is in Jesus. And now I've expanded my teaching to not just my kids, but their kids. And thank God, it's taken hold. They're even teaching their kids. Little Asher was over yesterday. Tammy wasn't at the house. But if she would have saw this, she would have been mortified. Me and Asher were playing baseball in the house, and I was pitching and he was hitting. Well, he got in his mind, he went over and took that, he has this wiffle ball bat, and he whacked his dad. And Aaron spanked him for it. You can't, and he started crying a little bit, and I thought, man, I'm glad he whipped that kid. Now, if Tammy would have been there, she would, that's her fair-haired boy. Little Asher. I mean, he's probably just hungry. He probably did that because Aaron did something to him. But you know what? Kids need to be corrected. It's the responsibility of parents. Now, I've met parents who've said with a straight face to me that their kid never needs spankings. And inwardly I'm laughing, saying, you think I just fell off the turnip truck yesterday? But the fact of the matter is, this teaching, this vision for the souls of our young people, it should never, ever diminish or stop. It should be ongoing. We need to pray as we teach and train our children in the way that they should go. Pray that we might send them forth as godly arrows with a vision to to share the gospel and influence the world in which we live in righteousness and truth. I read in a blog or something that since 1960, church attendance in the United States has fallen off nearly 40%. That's nearly half. The people that were going to church back in the 60s, nearly half of them have stopped going. And the sad thing is, a lot of them are going to churches that just, all they're doing is entertaining people. They're not preaching the gospel. They're not teaching the truth. There's no godly witness, no change of life. I mean, here's how things have gotten in our religious world today. I told you a couple weeks ago when I was led to preach the message on the marks and mission of the Lord's church, where I read that the church that was instrumental in authorizing and starting the first Southern Baptist Seminary in the 1800s was ordaining a man that was transgender, who I think his name was Eddie, and now he's Edith. And this was a Baptist church. That's sick, man. That is unbelievable to me how that can happen. So it's not just a matter of people aren't going to church. There are people that are going to church that never hear anything that will challenge them from the Word of God. We got a lot to fight against. And the way you do it is with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. I recently, you all remember that series I did on creation and Christianity? It was in 2012 when I did it. That was 7 years ago. Well, I revamped the whole thing. I wrote it into an article. It's going to be more than one article. But the more I studied and the more that I went over that and read over it, and I'll probably preach it again here on a Wednesday night next year when you forgot all about what I said today. But the more I studied this, I thought, how quickly people have gone into absolute error where they don't recognize God in anything. And I think it has to do with evolution, atheism, Marxism. They all combine in a toxic mix. And the result is people have no thought of God. Every time the temperature's too high, we got to do something about the environment. What are we going to do? Tell me, what control do you have over the environment? If you believe the Word of God, if you read Psalm 104, God sends the sun, the storms, the rain, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the floods. He's in charge of all the climate and the weather. What can you do to stop His will? And yet, people think, oh no, that's not science. We got to do something. They're indoctrinating children. Everybody was so proud of the climate strike. Let's go on strike. Let's have all the kids skip school on Friday as a statement of what? How are they going to fix it? Man can't fix it. And yet, all this is settled science. I'm not a climate change denier. I believe climate change. I believe God's in control of the changing climate. Absolute, 100%, He's the one. Not man. Why do I believe that? Because I believe God's Word. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Why do people go into these harebrained schemes and ideas? Why do people entertain that there are, what now, 45 different genders? How does that happen? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no divine instruction, people are going to be exposed to error. And that's why this is so vital that we stand for what's true and what's right, no matter how much disparagement we may receive, no matter how much ridicule we may receive. I'm going to stand and say, I believe God's a creator. I believe God's in control. I believe God is sovereign. I believe there's only one way of salvation, and it's through Jesus Christ. And I base every one of those beliefs on the Word of the living God. And I accept those truths over anything that man may say that contradicts it. Oh, that God would burden our hearts to possess a holy desire to see things like He does and faithfully implement the truth in every area of our lives. This is a real key to happiness, what happiness is all about. The keeping, the cherishing, the obeying, the embracing the blessed commands of Scripture is the manner in which we are to walk in the paths of holiness and happiness. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now I know I can't keep the law. I'm resting in the one who did for me, Jesus Christ. But now that I'm saved, I'm not antagonistic to the law. I love it because I've got a new nature that corresponds with God's nature, and I love what God has declared righteous. We need to endeavor to follow the admonition of the happy man, the blessed man. I wish I had a nickel for every time I've quoted Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The result, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Happy is he that loves the law. Blessed is he. So let's never underestimate the vision that we ought to have regarding God's holy word, and our responsibility to stand for it and to share it with others and to take delight in that which God takes delight in. His word, His law, His precepts that have been given to us for divine instruction and application. When we follow the word, we're going to be a lot more happy and joyful. I know it to be true. You know it to be true. We need to convey that to our children and to people in the world. They need to see somebody that's different because they love the Lord. I've got something much better than the world has. And I want to share it in the way that I live. May God help us. Where there is no vision, the people perish. It speaks of our responsibility to stand for and share the truth of the Word of God. We're dismissed.